These questions rolled around in my consciousness. How much faith do you have in the Word of God? And how much faith do you have in the name of Jesus? And how much faith do you have in the blood of Christ? We realize, of course, that Romans 11, or the 10th chapter, verse 17 says, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." And so we know that the way that we can see our faith grow, or a way, the way, coupled with acting on what we hear, is to hear the Word of God. Hear the Word of God and to act on it. And so, if we're interested in having growing faith, the Bible talks about in one place, your faith groweth exceedingly. If we're going to have our faith grow in any area, then we're going to have to, first of all, feed it on the Word of God. Feed the Word of God in and feed on the Word of God so that our faith will have the fuel or the food to make us strong. Strong in the Lord. Hallelujah. And I had never really thought about how much faith do I have in the blood of Christ. Now, I had had faith in it, yes. But I hadn't really thought about it along that line. But as these questions rolled around in my consciousness, I began to think about it. And I began to realize that a lot of Christians, one place they're missing God's best for them is they have very little faith in the blood of Jesus Christ. And I'll explain to you more what I mean by that. And this robs them from all that they should enjoy. Now, we're going to go through several scriptures here that talk about the blood of Jesus Christ and what it has provided for us, what it does for us. And as we see that, what it does for us and what it's provided for us, what is ours because of the blood of Jesus Christ, then I think you'll be able to understand, well, if you don't have much confidence in that, you're not going to be receiving in this area. So let's just begin with 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18, where it says, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation or your fruitless life received by tradition from your fathers." But verse 19 says, "But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." The precious blood of Christ. The blood of Christ is precious. That is, it's extremely valuable. There's no way that you can compare it with earthly value like silver or gold. Some of the things in the Old Testament, no doubt they were types or shadows or illustrations for us to help us understand things in the New Testament. And probably millions of animals, sheep and oxen and so forth, probably millions of them, well, no doubt, but in fact, millions of animals were slain under the Old Covenant. And the Bible tells us that the blood of sheep and goats can't cleanse us from sin. It takes the blood of Christ. But if you'll remember, even at the dedication of the temple, what was it, 120,000 sheep and was it 20 or 22,000 oxen? Do you remember? Well, as long as you don't remember, I can tell you any figure and it won't matter. Isn't that right? I believe it was 22,000 oxen and 120,000 sheep at one time were slain. Can you imagine the amount of blood that that would produce? A lot. But all of that blood, no matter how many hundreds of thousands of animals you shed, they will not cleanse a man from sin. All those were is just types. Just to give us a picture of what was going to happen so we'd understand it more clearly. Well, this says not only is the blood of Christ precious, but it says that we were redeemed, not with corruptible things, not with something subject to corruption and decay, but we were redeemed. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1 and look at another scripture there talking about our redemption. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7, I'm going to believe that you're going to be able to turn quickly today to the passages because we have several scriptures we'd like to look at. Verse 7 says, "In whom," that is in Christ, "we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness," or actually remission "of sins according to the riches of His grace." Why do I say actually remission? Because the word that is there translated forgiveness doesn't just mean like we think of forgiveness a lot of times. Well, yeah, I'll forgive you, I guess, but I'm still kind of mad about it, you know. But it literally means a wiping out. That's what remission means, to remit it. When somebody sends you a letter and says, "Please remit this amount at once," they mean for you to send the money in so that debt is wiped out. Well, if we have remission of our sins, that means they're wiped out. Hallelujah. Not just covered over, not just God throwing a blanket over the sins, but they're still there. But the slate is wiped clean. Hallelujah. "In whom we have redemption through His blood." We have redemption through His blood. It's because He gave His life, shed His blood, that we have redemption. You know what redemption means? Well, it means to be loosed from something, to be turned loose, to be bought out of bondage and released into freedom. Hallelujah. We have been loosed from the hold of the adversary, the enemy, the devil, the one who was against us, in whom we have redemption. Did you notice it didn't say we're going to get it when we get to heaven? It says we have it. Hallelujah. Say, "I have redemption through the precious blood of Jesus." Another verse along this line says in Hebrews 9:12, if you'd like to turn to there, you may hurry. In Hebrews 9:12, let's do turn to these. I think it's best, even if it takes a few moments longer, that you see these in your own Bible. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 12 says, "Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood, He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us." Hallelujah. Having obtained eternal redemption. By His own blood, He obtained eternal redemption. I'm glad it's not just a transitory redemption. It's an eternal redemption. It's not just a short-time redemption. It's long-lasting. How long? Eternal. Eternal redemption. He's obtained eternal redemption. That means you are right now, eternally free from Satan. By what price? By the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. That blood paid the price to set you free, to turn you loose out of Satan's bondage. And what is Satan's bondage? Some of you may not realize. Well, everything that holds man down and keeps mankind from being and having all that God originally intended that he be and that he have is of the devil and its bondage. So you got to go back to the Garden of Eden and find out how God created man. Did he create him sick? Did he create him poor? Did he create him fearful? Handicapped? Exactly the opposite of that, wasn't it? Here he was, healthy, wealthy, and wise, just to put it in quick terminology. Every advantage, every benefit had been conferred upon man, imaginable by the Creator God. But then, as you well know, most of you I'm sure, sin entered in because of the transgression and disobedience of Adam and Eve. They opened the door to the enemy, Satan. And as he stepped in, spiritual death entered in. And that spiritual death caused a corruption in things in this planet. And we're still seeing the effects of that today. It's not God's will that things be corrupted, but it was because of spiritual death entering in and having its effect that there is that corruption in this world. Well, we have eternal redemption. Eternal redemption. That thrills me to think about. I've got eternal redemption. I'm always going to be free from the devil. Hallelujah. Not just when I feel like it, but always. It doesn't say having obtained by your feelings eternal redemption. It says having obtained by His blood. By His blood He obtained it. It's not by your feelings that you obtained being redeemed. It's not even by your shouting. It's not by you trying to believe. Well, I'm trying to believe I'm redeemed. Bless God, you are eternally redeemed. You've got eternal redemption because the price has been paid. Now, you may not have recognized it. You may not have walked in the light of it and enjoyed all the benefits of it, but it's yours because of the precious blood of Christ. Hallelujah. Eternal redemption. Thank God for eternal redemption. Praise God. Then Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, the Apostle Paul is talking to the people there in Ephesians for the last time. He says they're going to see his face no more. He's realizing that he's about to finish his race. He's about to do his job and about ready to get to be promoted on over into glory with face to face with Jesus. Hallelujah. And he said this in verse 28, telling these people, the elders, he said, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood." Not only are we redeemed out of the hand of the enemy by the precious blood, but that's also our purchase price to where we were bought by the Lord Jesus Christ. You haven't been just set free just to wander around. You have been translated out of one kingdom into another. Not just translated out of the kingdom of darkness, the realm of Satan's dominion, and just turn loose just to sort of sit around and, you know, wait for the rapture. No, you've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Hallelujah. The Son of His love, it literally says. The Son of His love. What is that saying to us? That's saying that our new Lord in our new kingdom is a lover. That's His dominant characteristic. He's not a hard taskmaster. He's not mean and cruel tyrant. He is a love master. Hallelujah. We've been translated. We've been taken up out of the kingdom of darkness and been placed in a new kingdom. We have new citizenship. We have a new Lord, a new master. New allegiance, which He hath purchased with His own blood. You've been bought with a price, the Bible says. What was the price that was paid to get you? It wasn't somebody, you know, went down to the dime store and paid 29 cents and took you home. Not that at all. What was the price that it took for God to get you? It took the blood of Christ. It took God Himself in human flesh, spilling His blood, giving up His life. That was a high price. An extremely high price. That should help you to understand how precious you are to God, purchased with His own blood. Since we're purchased, then that means we belong to Him. Isn't that right? You belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, purchased with His own blood. Hallelujah. Praise God. Look at Colossians chapter 1. Praise God. When we're purchased, we belong to Him. We have something. that the world can't give. Praise God, the world didn't give it to us and the world can't take it away. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 20 says, "And having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself." He has made peace. We have peace with God now. Why? Because of the blood of His cross. Because He shed His blood on the cross, now we have peace with God. Ephesians 2:13 amplifies on this a little bit, and 14, where it says, Ephesians is just a little bit back toward the front. Ephesians 2, and we'll just take up in verse 13, it says, "But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ, for He is our peace." Hallelujah. Jesus is our peace. And He obtained that, we obtained that peace through the blood of His cross. What am I talking about? Well, first of all, when you're communicating, the most important thing, or the first thing of importance, is to understand your terms. If I say dog, and I'm thinking about a miniature poodle, and you're thinking about some Great Dane or something, some big dog, well, we're not communicating real exactly. Well, not to try to make you think that there's no reason to read the Bible because you can't understand it anyway, because that's not true. But we do have to bear in mind that the Bible was written in Greek. That is the New Testament. And all of the English translations that we have are translations. Now, this Greek word that's translated peace is the word, does anybody know? Irene. So, if you want to have a good name for your next daughter that you're going to have, well, Irene is not such a bad name after all. Irene. Irene. That's where we get the word ironic. And that means conciliatory or peaceful. Anyway, I know because I looked it up in the dictionary because I was reading in a book. And it comes from that Greek word. Well, we've preached on that before. How many of you remember that great message? Well, I'm sorry the rest of you missed it. Irene. What does that Greek word Irene mean? It means exactly the same as the Old Testament Hebrew word shalom. And what does that word mean? It means a whole lot more than absence of conflict. It means prosperity. It means health. It means all conceivable well-being. That's what it means. Both of them mean that. The Hebrew word shalom and the Greek word irene. In other words, it's not just, yeah, we're at peace, you know, the war ended yesterday. It's not that at all. It means more than absence of conflict. It also means prosperity and well-being and health. Every conceivable good. That's what it means. And it says that He's obtained peace for us by His blood. It says He is our peace. Glory to God. He is our peace. You say, well, that doesn't help me much. He's up in heaven and I'm down here. Wait a minute. The Bible says that Jesus is made unto us. He is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Jesus has been made these things unto us. And yes, He is physically at the right hand of the Father, or the Majesty on high. But He has given His life and imparted His life into our very spirits by His Spirit. He's given us His Word. He's not left us here as orphans to face life all alone. But praise God, we have the Helper, the Holy Spirit, here to help us. Glory to God. And to reveal and to show the things of Christ unto us. Praise God. And He is our peace. He is our health. He is our prosperity. He is our every conceivable good in Him. Now, to help you better understand that, the book of Romans, the 8th chapter, says that how shall He not with Him, talking about His Son, how shall He not with Him freely give us all things? Now, I used to, I'll put it this way. You hear a lot of people arguing, the Pentecostals and the Baptists. The Pentecostals are saying, well, you don't really get everything when you're saved. And the Baptists are saying, and others, but I'm just using this name because I'm not going to say anything bad about either one of them. And the Baptists are saying, oh, when you get saved, you get everything. Everything, everything, everything. There's absolutely nothing else you can ever get, period. Well, that may be stressing it just a little bit. But, you know, the truth of the matter really is, if you look at it the right way, they're both right. You say, well, how can they both be right? Well, when you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. And when you're in that kingdom, everything in that kingdom belongs to you because you're a joint heir with Christ. It all belongs to you. But just because you're in the grocery store and you just won one of those $1 million shopping sprees, that'd be about what they need to do anymore. And it used to be $100, but now with inflation, well, anyway. I had to put $1 million so I could say you owned everything. You could sit in there in the grocery store and own everything because you just won this big shopping spree and sit there and starve to death, couldn't you? And that's the way That's the way some Christians have done. Oh, yes, now I'm in the kingdom of God. Everything is mine. Yes, I've got it all. And they sit there and starve to death, basically, allowing God just to bless them with everything that's theirs in Christ Jesus. The Bible does say, 2 Corinthians 9:15, I believe it says, thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. Singular. I remember when I was attending Bible school, during that time I was reading that and I was thinking, gift, singular. I thought God had a lot of good things for us. You mean God only has one thing? What? This doesn't seem to fit here. This doesn't line up with the rest of the Bible. Why? You know, I thought, God, we could receive the gift of salvation, the gift of the Holy Spirit, you know, a gift of healing and the gift of this. And, you know, God would just shower daily. He'd load us with benefits and every day just get some new gifts, you know. Well, in one sense, that's right. You know, God has a never-ending supply. He's El Shaddai. There's no end to His resources. But on the other hand, His unspeakable gift, that means inexpressible. There's no way to express the magnitude and the greatness of this gift. Well, what is that gift? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And in Him is eternal life. And in Him is the privilege of being joint heirs, equal heirs, and receiving an inheritance in Him of all that God has. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. With Him, you see. Now, maybe you don't like this illustration, but it helped me. You know, if you were going to buy a new refrigerator, and you picked it up at the warehouse, I guess. I've never bought one, but I'm just using my imagination here. I've seen boxes they come in. Well, they come in a big cardboard box. Well, if you had a big box like that, big refrigerator-sized box, well, a person could fill that box up with all kinds of good things, couldn't he? Let's say it was Christmas time, and you could fill it up with a lot of presents, couldn't you? You could put a ham in there, or turkey, you could put roller skates, a bicycle, you could put all sorts of things in there, couldn't you? A mink coat, a new dress, new pair of shoes. And somebody could deliver it to your door and it'd be all one package, wouldn't it? But as you begin to open up that one package, you'd begin to see, hey, there's more here. There's this, there's that. There's a lot of good stuff in here. And that's just the way it is with Jesus Christ. When we receive Jesus in actuality, the Bible says, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? I'll look up that verse number for you in case you didn't get it. Thank God we're redeemed from the curse of flies. That's verse 32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Now, I realize this is kind of a side trip, but this really helped me when I really begin to see what this scripture is saying. This scripture is saying that with him, God freely gave us all things. Now, I'll tell you the importance of that. So many people have the thinking that they have to twist God's arm to get him to answer their prayers. They have to kind of somehow talk God into giving them something good. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands how many of you have ever been guilty of that. Well, I imagine every one of us have, but I hope that you're, if you haven't before, today you'll learn that that's not the true perspective. That's not right. We don't have to talk God into giving us anything. God has already freely given us all things when? With Christ. Now, if my wife said, I came here with my husband this morning, you don't think, well, he came in one car at one time and she came in another vehicle 30 minutes later, do you? You think they came together. They got here at the same time. They're in the same vehicle. Well, when we read the Bible, we should think of it the same way, shouldn't we? I mean, words, if they mean one thing in one context, they mean the same thing in the Bible. Correctly understood, of course, realizing that it's a translation. Well, it says, how shall he not with him freely give us all things with him? So when is that? When he gave us Jesus, he gave us everything he had. So you don't have to beg God to give you the Holy Spirit. You don't have to beg God to give you healing. It is already given. All you need to do is just to kind of peel back the cardboard from in front of your eyes and see that in Christ Jesus, healing is yours. The fullness of the Holy Spirit is yours. Prosperity is yours. Praise God. Receive it by faith and thank God for it. Quit spending your time praying about it. Like Brother Hagin says, most Christians waste their time. Listen to this. Waste their time praying for things that already belong to them. Wouldn't that be ridiculous for my child to sit at the dinner table with a plate full of food in front of him and fold his hands, maybe even bow on his knees and say, oh, please, Daddy, would you feed me something? Oh, please, would you give me something to eat? Oh, please, you know I'll do better next time. Please, I promise to do better next time if you'll just give me something to eat. Oh, please, Daddy, will you please give me something to eat? That would be ridiculous, wouldn't it? It has to look just as ridiculous to God our Father, a lot of the praying that we've been guilty of. We don't have to ask God to do it. All we have to do is receive it by faith and thanking for it because it's already ours. Why? Because when he gave us Christ, when Jesus purchased us with his own blood, that price was enough. Glory to God to give us everything. Praise the Lord. We've got that peace. Peace through the blood of his cross. Every conceivable good is what the word peace means. Hallelujah. Now, the next verse we'd like to look at is in Romans, again, chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Hallelujah. Thank God for his blood. Romans chapter 5. I'm going to start with verse 8. It says, but God commendeth or showed or proved his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. Read the next words with me. Being now justified by His blood. Do you know what the word justified means? Well, in the King James translation, it's used interchangeably with the words made righteous, righteousness, or justification. Actually, in the Greek, it's the same word. Sometimes they'd translate it to justified. Sometimes they'd translate it made righteous. What it means is made righteous. Now, what does righteous mean? Well, righteousness, the old English way of saying it and spelling it was right wiseness. Right wiseness, which according to W. Vine's Greek dictionary says adequately expresses the meaning of right wiseness. What would right wiseness mean? That would mean right standing, right relationship, or good standing, good relationship, righteousness. This says, let me read it, verse 9, being now. Everybody say now. Not just when we die and go to heaven, but now, being now made righteous. How? By His blood. Did you know that you're righteous? Well, if you belong to Jesus, you're righteous. If you're not righteous, you don't belong to Jesus. It's just that simple. Because every person that belongs to Jesus is in right standing with Him, not because of their works, but because of the blood of Christ. Remember the question we started out? How much faith do you have in the blood of Christ? What it boils down to, you see, is that was the blood of Christ precious enough, a big enough price to really make you righteous, to really cleanse you, to really set you right with God? Or is it going to take something else? That's the point. Hallelujah. Thank God for the precious blood of Christ. Being now justified, not by works, not by self-effort, but by the blood of Christ. Hallelujah. 1 John 1:7. Probably most of you are familiar with this context. I saw a cartoon in some Christian magazine lately. The words on the cartoon was, I just broke a world's record on the using 1 John 1:9 the most times. That says, if you're not familiar, it says, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But verse 7, right before that says, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, that's what we're talking about, the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. From all sin. From all sin. Praise God. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but sometimes maybe I'm just not near as spiritual as you. Maybe I just haven't gotten near as far along. But sometimes if I miss it and I ask forgiveness, I don't feel forgiven. But the Bible doesn't say, well, if you feel forgiven, then you're forgiven. If you feel like you're in right standing with God and cleansed from all unrighteousness, then you're all right. No, it says very clearly that if we confess it, He cleanses us from all unrighteousness. And it's by His precious blood. That blood of Jesus is continually cleansing us from all sin. All sin. Hallelujah. And if you're cleansed from all sin, that means you're free from all sin. And if you're free from all sin, that means that the devil has no jurisdiction over you, no foothold, no way to get the door open and steal, kill, and destroy from you. The blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. Hallelujah! I guess most of y'all must have been born righteous or something. I guess none of you have ever sinned. Or you would have been shouting hallelujah too. Praise God. Hallelujah. Cleansed us from all sin. Revelation 1:5, it says about Jesus, it says, and He's washed us from our sins in His own blood. It took nothing less than the blood of Jesus to wash us from our sins. But I am here to proclaim to you that the blood of Jesus is sufficient and it does wash you from all sins. Praise God. When you come to Christ as a sinner, I don't care how far gone you may have been, the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse you from all sin. It'll just wipe it out. Hallelujah. And then when you miss it and stumble and fall as a Christian and miss the mark, the blood of Jesus still is effective in cleansing from all sins. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Cleanses us from all sins. He's washed us from our sins in His own blood. Now, Hebrews chapter 10. Here's a good one. I'm going to read a couple other verses. Starting with verse 17, it says, God is speaking, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Thank God He's forgotten about our sins. When they're under the blood of Jesus, they're wiped out. The slate is clean. God says, their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now, verse 18 goes on to say, now we're remission or wiping out of these is there is no more offering for sin. I'm thinking about whether just to stop there and preach the rest of the day just on that. Because there's no more offering for sin. But I'm going to go ahead and read the next verse. First, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way. Hallelujah. We not only are redeemed out of the hand of the enemy, purchased by the Lord Jesus Christ, declared righteous, made righteous, we have peace, we've been cleansed from our sins, but we also have boldness because of that blood to enter right in to the very presence of God Himself, just like we owned the place. And I'm not saying that to be sacrilegious, but to get across to you the meaning of the word boldness here. It doesn't say, well, now that Jesus has shed His blood, we can kind of slink in and hope that God won't slap us across the mouth and knock us out. It says we have got boldness to enter right into the very presence of the living God Himself as if sin had never existed. Glory to God. As if we were Jesus Himself. Can you imagine Jesus walking into the throne room, if there is a room around it? We don't know that there's a room around it, I guess. But can you imagine Jesus walking up to the Father God? Well, you're supposed to have the same boldness. You're supposed to have the same freedom to go right into His presence that Jesus does. Hallelujah. That is thrilling. I'm not talking about just some general or some king. I'm talking about God Almighty, the Creator, the one that has all wisdom, all everything. You have boldness because of the blood of Jesus to enter right on in without any hesitancy, without begging and pleading, without walking around the block on your knees, without beating yourself with a whip to try to make God think, well, maybe you're worthy. You have that boldness. How? Because you've won 1 million souls to Jesus? Because you've read 29 chapters in your Bible in the last 20 minutes? You have that boldness by the blood of Jesus. It's not by your works. See, a lot of us, we have more faith in our works than we do in the blood of Jesus. Now, don't misunderstand me. God didn't create you just to go out and fail. He created you in Christ Jesus unto good works. That means when He made you good, and He knew you had the ability to do good, and you were going to do good. But your good works, all of your deeds, do not give you right standing with God or boldness to come before His presence. You need to have faith in the blood of Jesus, and by that blood, we have boldness to enter in. Why? Because that blood has cleansed us from our sins. That blood has made us in right standing with God. That blood has given us peace with God. Hallelujah. Now, going back to verse 18, it says, "Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin." Going along in the same vein I was talking about, that's what a lot of people are doing. They are trying to make their works an offering for sin. And it won't work. People are plagued with guilt, and so they do all sorts of things, especially among some religions. They do all sorts of things to try to get rid of that guilt. They'll offer their child in the Ganges River, throw it out there. They'll do the things like I was talking about. Have themselves nailed up on a cross even. Some people even do that. Walk on glass on their knees for long periods or long distances. Do all sorts of things. What are they trying to do? They're trying to make an offering for their sin. Well, even if you were crucified, even if you shed your blood, no matter what you do, even if you're martyred somewhere, that does not... That has no relationship. It does no good as an offering for sin. No good. No good. No good. Not any good. Only the precious blood of Christ shed on your behalf is sufficient that direction. Hallelujah. Thank God for the blood of Christ. Now, no more offering for sin. No more offering for sin. Well, if you're in sin, well, then you're not in right standing. And so a lot of people are trying to get in right standing or good standing with God. I think you can understand it better this way, by their works. It may go something like this. Lord, if you'll just get me out of debt here, well, I'll be a missionary here. God, if you'll just get me out of debt, well, then I'll do this or that. Then I'll serve you or something. Well, the truth of the matter is that you're bringing another offering before God. See, you're saying, you're offering God your self-effort and say, here's what I'll do for you, God, if you'll just have mercy on me and be gracious unto me and do this for me. The truth of the matter is that the only way that God is going to be gracious unto you is by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the only offering that is going to be effective in receiving anything from God is Jesus Christ and His shed blood. The price that Jesus paid, not the price that you're paying. It's easy to fall into that. I'm sure you have. If you haven't, well, I'm sure you know people that have. The only thing that we should be counting on as we come before God is the sacrifice of Jesus. Not our sacrifice. Well, God, you know I've taught Sunday school for you for 29 years, and so please heal me. Well, if you don't know it, I'm telling you right now, that won't get you very far. But if you come before God, God, the blood of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, was shed on my behalf. And by that blood, by the merits of that blood, I know that healing is mine, and I thank you for healing me now. That'll get you somewhere. You come and say, oh God, if you'll just save my children, then I'll start tithing. Well, that won't get you very far. It may work, seemingly, but that's not the method of approach that God has outlined in His Word. We only have boldness to come before God, and I'm telling you, when you're before God, you can receive anything He has because He's a giver. It's all right there and it's all yours in Christ Jesus. And we have that boldness, how? By the blood of Jesus. It's because of His sacrifice and the blood that was shed for us that we have that boldness. Now, we read this scripture already, but in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 13, it says, we are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Now that's another precious truth brought out. Not only are we redeemed and purchased and made righteous and we have peace and we have boldness to enter in boldly and all of these things. We have redemption, we have cleansing, but we also have nearness to God. Hallelujah. We're made close to God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Somebody might say, well, I have just a real close relationship with my sister. Or my mother and I had a real close relationship when I was growing up. Well, what are you talking about? You're not saying, well, I sent a Christmas card every other year. Are you? That isn't what you mean. It says we are made near, made nigh through the blood of Christ. We're right there in the family. We're in the inner council. We're involved right shoulder to shoulder with God Himself. We are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Because of the blood of Jesus, we've been brought into the very family of God. We're near to God. And the Psalm 16 tells us, in thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand, pleasures forevermore. Closer you get to God, the better off you are. It's kind of like, you can imagine this, the closer you got to the sun, you know, what is it up there, 93 million miles? Closer you got to the sun, the hotter you'd be, right? I suppose, I've never tried it actually, but closer you got to the sun, the hotter it would get. Well, the closer you get to God, the better it gets. And you have been made nigh by the blood of Jesus. You're right in there where it's the best. Now, you may not have taken advantage of that because you may not have had that much confidence in what the blood of Jesus has done for you. But now you do. Now you do. Praise God. We have nearness to God by His blood. And then, last but not least, Revelation chapter 12 and verse 11 says, and they overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. In the most perilous times, in the worst of circumstances, the blood of Jesus, representing the sacrifice of His life, the sacrifice of Calvary, the blood of Jesus, and our active cooperation by speaking that forth, our victory, the word of our testimony. Well, what is your testimony? Well, thank God I am redeemed by the blood of Jesus. I am set free by the blood of Jesus. I am made righteous by the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Because Jesus died for me, now I can live. By the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, they overcame Him. Overcame Satan and all his works. Glory to God. In other words, we have victory. 100% victory. Total and complete victory through the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus was sufficient, a price, because it was a precious blood to effect all these things. Aren't you glad?